So I know most of you know me, but my name is Stephen Essington, and this summer, as well as last summer, I had the opportunity to go serve in Ukraine. And you want to do the next slide? I would just like to start off by saying thank you to all of you for your prayers and support. I'm so grateful for all of it, and for the candy and money that you all provided. During my time in Ukraine, I was able to see God work in so many ways, and I was constantly reminded of the prayers of the church family and everything that helped me to be a part of this missions trip. This year, as well as last year, I was able to go with my aunt and uncle and our friend Michelle. And we combined with a group of about 25 or 26 other Americans for the project. And serving in Ukraine was such an amazing opportunity, and I can't say thank you enough. So, next slide. Is this one you?
Yeah. This is just a friendly picture. We want to say thank you for the donations for the candy and the peanut butter. On the left here, we just wanted to encapsulate. We brought one game known as Spike Ball. It's similar to volleyball, but we were able to kind of share the rules with them and kind of broken English, and they were able to really have some fun with that. But with your donations, we were able to bring candy because there were some breaks that we were able to have some American candy. And then also in our classes, we tossed some candy to them during the English lesson. And we were able to... Laser? Is there a laser?
Big middle button.
That's the one. We were able to bring some baseball equipment that they did have some baseball there, but we also left that equipment with some of the Ukrainians there to help with some outreach there once we had left too. So we wanted to encapsulate that. And this is just a portion of that stuff that we brought. We ended up bringing two 50-pound bags of candy and equipment with us. And Stephen and I carried that along the way, so it was we were glad to share that with the Ukrainians while we were there.
Next slide. This summer we had an opportunity to serve at a project called Speak Out. It was the same project we were at last summer. It was in a different city this time. This year it was in Cherkasy. Last year it was in Venetia. This is my second year, obviously, attending the camp. This year, about 30 Americans and 120 campers were there, and the gospel was shared with over 700 people throughout the project. And the goal of this mission is to join Americans and Ukrainians in sharing the gospel with older high school students and university students. And the project consists of two camps. There's Ukrainian camp, which focuses on evangelism throughout the city, and American camp, which is focusing on teaching English, conversational English, to the university and high school students. And at this project, we had the opportunity to teach English, share the gospel, and help with those evangelism events in the city. Mark 16:15, the verse that's up there, it kind of encapsulates our goal for the trip. It's a great command that requires not only prayer for those in missions, but it also requires personal action and devotion to carrying out the Great Commission. So we were trying to accomplish that in our work this summer. Next slide.
So one of the big questions is, hey, what did you do? So we're going to go just through kind of a typical day. It started off with an English lesson kind of first thing in the morning. And with that, we were able to begin conversation with them. We actually, Stephen and I were both teaching partners. And this year, we had the blessing of teaching English to beginner students. And that was an adventure in and of itself. But we had that blessing. So throughout that lesson, we were able to get to know our students a little bit more. After the lesson, we had a discussion group. This is where we had some other ministry tools, videos to watch, questions to discuss that really began identifying what their worldview was and really opening up that discussion to allow us to share the gospel in an easier way. And also with the discussion group, these students, we then shared one-on-one, where we got to know them a little bit more. And this is Stephen sharing the gospel with one of the ministry tools that we had there, being bold in his faith, sharing more about what Christ has done in his life. And so that was really exciting. It was coupled with the discussion, getting to know those students, and then we shared the gospel later on as well. Also, throughout the evenings, they had kind of events in the park for that Ukrainian camp where they did kind of street evangelism, and then they had a big kind of stage where it was events such as like a pie in the face competition, a color desk, like those color runs they have, and we also had some American nights. So that was a fun event. That's actually Sarah up on stage sharing for one of our open American English lessons, where the Americans had a dry erase board, and one of the nights we had specific topics to discuss, and anyone who wanted to come up and talk to us, beginning conversational English and being able to share that the gospel and the conversation, and after that was also really awesome. We were right by the Dnipro River, so mosquitoes were quite prevalent there. And this was actually a tent that they had set up as well, which was known as the Hub, where we met. That's where we were meeting right here. We met with some of our students. We had lunch there a few days, and it was just a really good central point for that community where people were just walking by. What is this tent all the way up? It looks like a circus. And a lot of Ukrainians were able to share the gospel just simply because there was a tent up, and people started asking questions. And just the curiosity of the people in Cherkasy was really impressive. And then this is just Sarah writing English words from the Ukrainian translation. So it was kind of a fun opportunity. So that's what we did throughout the day. It was a jam-packed week, very exciting week. But that's what we did on a typical day.
Next slide. There we go. One of the things God taught me during the project is that we don't always need to interject ourselves into conversations or when someone else is talking. Sometimes it's better to just stay quiet and see what we can learn from or about that person. And sometimes people just need someone to talk to. Sometimes it's just good to be able to listen to them and hear about what things that are going on in their lives, listen to their problems, and kind of help them through those things. And a verse that kind of is an example for that is James 1:19. And that says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And Ukrainians, one of the cultural differences between Ukrainians and Americans is Ukrainians are more reserved and quiet, and they don't open up to people as easily. So they're more respectful when other people are talking. They let them finish their conversations and before, like, telling their story or whatever. And Americans are kind of loud and obnoxious and always have to get in the last word and things. So with all the activities we were doing, we just had the goal of getting to know all the students a little bit better so we would be better able to share the gospel with them. And Paul had to do similar things when he was preaching and sharing the gospel. And a verse that he wrote about that was 1 Corinthians 9:20, and that says, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." And that's just stating that he had to become like the people he was witnessing to in order to get closer to them so he could share the gospel with them. And one of the cool things that happened, time we got to share the gospel, is one of the nights during the event in the park, I think it was the chalk dust event, but afterwards I was playing frisbee with a group of Ukrainians, and a couple of girls came up and started talking to me because I was the fun, cool American teenager, and they wanted to see what I was all about. And so they asked me where I was from, and I told them Wyoming. They'd never heard of it. So I told them, "You know about Colorado?" And they said, yeah, of course. And I said, "It's just north of there." And so then we went over and started talking with Mike, and they asked where he was from. And he told them Utah, and immediately they asked, "Are you Mormon?" Because when they think of Utah, they think Mormon. And so that was a really good opportunity to get into sharing the gospel with them. We got to kind of explain the differences between Mormonism and what we believe. And one of the girls that we were sharing with, she was just kind of dumbfounded at how simple the gospel was. We told her that All you had to do was believe that we are sinners and that Jesus came to die on the cross to take away our sins so that we could have a relationship with God. And anybody, no matter their walk of life, no matter who they are, where they're from, what they do for a living, anyone can accept that gift and come to knowledge of God and accept Jesus into their lives. And she was just amazed at how simple it was. She just kind of had a dazed expression on her face, and it was just really cool to be able to share that with her. And she didn't accept Jesus that night, but there was a definite seed planted in her life, and that was a really cool opportunity for us. Next slide. Some of the praises and prayer requests we had were, one of the praises was through the efforts of Ukrainian American camps, over about 700 people heard the gospel during that week, and at least 10 people accepted Christ. And some things that you can pray for are the ministry in Ukraine, preparation for next year, especially more volunteers, American volunteers to go, and for the discipleship of the new believers that accepted Christ through this ministry. Additionally, the project location, why they chose that city, was to ignite a movement in the city of Cherkasy. And one of the amazing things that happened during the project was one of the students in my Aunt Sarah's class actually accepted Christ during the project. And that's the kid in the red shirt. Yeah. And another thing you can pray for is financial support for the Ukrainian staff members that run the project and the financial stability of the project. Next slide. About a week after the project ended, we went to an orphanage in a village near Kyiv with a friend named Natalia. My Aunt Sarah met her the first year she went, so 5 years ago, and Uncle Mike and Michelle and I met her last year. And she has a ministry where she goes to the orphanage about once a week, I think, and has a Bible study with some of the girls there. And my Aunt Sarah and Michelle helped with the Bible study while we were there, and Uncle Mike and I played basketball and frisbee with some of the other kids. And one of the cool things we learned later after we left was the government wrote a letter to the orphanage telling them that they didn't want Christians to come and witness to people and like share the gospel, but the orphanage kind of vetoed that. They said, we don't really care what you think. And so the orphanage actually specifically told Natalia that they appreciated what she was doing and they saw how helpful it was in the kids' lives and things. And they specifically asked her to continue coming and sharing that. So that was really neat. Next slide.
It's you. So what's next? This was a wonderful year for us. Sarah and I, mostly Sarah, she's been asked to begin leading the camp on the American side with the lesson planning, the recruitment of volunteers, and such. So this is our friend Ksenia. We went to her wedding. She just married a Croatian pastor, which was exciting. And this was the lady who had previously run the camp for 30 years. On the American side. So this is our first year running that on that side. So Sarah and I will be moving forward with the leadership of that camp in the future. So you can pray for us in that recruitment of volunteers and continual preparation and provision financially for us to go as well. But that's the next step. Sarah and I will be continuing going to the Ukraine with this team of Ukrainian believers with the Speak Out camps wherever they are located in Ukraine. So that's kind of what's happening next with us.
Next slide. We'd just like to thank you again for praying for us and supporting us and whatever you did. And so thank you all for that. Does anybody have any questions for me? Anything that came to mind while I was sharing this or anything about Ukraine? Yes.
Well, four slides back, there was a picture in the background that was like a statue,
I'm not sure. Did you hear about that?
I forgot what it was, but this was actually in the city of Cherkasy, right where the river, it was called the Valley of Roses. I don't know exactly the origin of that statue, because there was another one in Kyiv that I'm getting mixed up with. But this was a group of us that we went up there, and we hiked all the way up there, but I don't know exactly what that statue is.
It was right near a Catholic church, so that might have something to do with it, but I'm not sure the exact reason for it.
What's the dominant religion?
A lot of the younger generation, they say they're agnostic, and a lot of the older ones are Orthodox. So
lots of Orthodox churches over there.
Yeah. Gannett, what do you have?
So the culture in Ukraine, more Slavic or
European? Mainly Slavic. A lot of them are Russian descent. Anybody else? Miss Wixie? Yeah, it gives you a way to make contact with the students and something to talk about, to open a conversation, things like that. Isaac?
You said that this time you got to work with the beginning students.
Uh-huh.
Are they like completely, do they speak any English at that point? Or?
Some of the classes, they were very, very beginner, but ours was more, they had some knowledge, so it was easier to work with our class than a lot of the beginner classes. Yeah, yeah.
You know, right when they come to the camp, we do an interview process where we have like English questions and we kind of score them. This year, it was kind of like a higher level of students, so kind of the breakdown was a little bit kind of skewed towards the higher level. But Sarah, for instance, her class, they could barely form a sentence, so she had to adapt. And her and Michelle are both seasoned teachers, so they adapted really well. And that was exciting to hear. And with that, too, like we're learning Ukrainian and Russian. So in those classes, we have like a few words that we say sometimes. And they just light up that you're trying to get to know their language. And that difference between kind of the languages, kind of it gets bridged once we're trying to take that effort. And once we say a few words, or Stephen and I can almost... We can just sound out words, and even a few people are like, you can read? We're like, no, we can sound it out. We don't know what that says. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's bus stop. We're like, oh, yeah, that's what we thought. But it's really exciting to see that when we take that step forward.
And another thing with that is last year we had an overall lower level of English-speaking kids. So they were in, like, higher-level classes. But this year, some of the kids came back from last year, and they were kind of discouraged because we had an overall higher level, so they were in lower classes because there was more advanced. So some of them were discouraged because they were in lower level than last year, but it really didn't mean a whole lot, just that there was a different level of overall students. So, Anna, what do you have?
Why do you need peanut butter?
They don't have peanut butter in Ukraine. You can't find peanut butter in any of the stores or anything. I don't know why, but they just really love peanut butter when you bring it over because they can't get it at home.
They have Nutella, though, but not peanut butter.
You know, mm-hmm. I remember the first thing that came to America, to my country, to Venezuela, and I remember them giving me a spoon of peanut butter. And I'd rather eat crunchy peanut butter on my sandwich instead of peanut butter. But it's like, it's a homesick. Or it's I'm really tired at camp. Sometimes I grab a spoon of peanut butter and put it in my mouth, and I remember their effort in my country. And I go, you know, I'm right here. I can do this. But I remember that day.
That's so cool.
8 years old.
Yeah.
This year we also, staff members decided to do like kind of a, not a raffle, but they did do a raffle. And some of the prizes were like those jars of peanut butter and like kind of like Yeti mugs that some of the Americans brought, and American t-shirts and socks and shoes, like all this like little stuff you can get at Walmart. It just makes a huge difference and with that relationship. And at the end, we gave some of our students little gifts too. Stephen made some of these bracelets with paracord, and they loved it. They all chose their own, and they're just baffled and really thankful that we're not just there to teach English. We're there to kind of transform their reality and really have their lives change for the gospel.
Can you go over the bracelets that you passed around at some point?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where are they at? Um, It's pretty simple. There's only four right there. I'll have Stephen kind of walk through them.
Okay, so the first one is a heart, and that's signifying the fact that God loves us, and we at one time had a perfect relationship with him. And then the second one, the divide symbol, it signifies that man sinned, and therefore we are divided from God by that sin. And the third one is the cross, that's saying Jesus came to die and take away our sins so that we could have that perfect relationship with God once more. And the last one, the question mark, it's kind of asking, what are you going to do about this? Like, are you going to accept that Jesus came to give you eternal life and that relationship with God, or are you going to reject and turn away? So that's kind of what that the four bracelet signifies.
And part of that story we shared of that girl when we shared the gospel, when we got to the cross one, that's when she kind of took a step back and was just really baffled by it, that, like, it's grace we've been saved through faith, and there's nothing else you need to do. There's not A plus B plus C plus D to do it, and that just really just stopped her. She didn't say a word after that, and when Steve was saying that it was really a seed, it really was just the thought process of, wow, it really is that simple, but I don't think she's ever heard the gospel before and just laid out in those simple terms. And that was, I don't know, you expect to have, you know, those type of situations with our students, but it was just after one of those nights, someone just talked like, yeah, I'm from Utah, but let me share you the truth. Like, and that was just a real blessing that just where I'm from really sparked a conversation. And she didn't even want to take a bracelet, too. She was like, I don't need a gift. I was like, okay, you sure? She was like, yeah, I don't want it. So it's just really amazing to see that the gospel really can transform students' reality. And while we were there, the staff members weren't really too concerned. They were concerned, but they had mentioned to us they were concerned over the government and what they would do, because there was kind of discussions what to do in the square. And they had shared with us that when we were up on stage, one of the key phrases we did to make sure we weren't get kicked out of the city is, what was it?
Students who change reality.
Students who change reality, and that's why we were there, was to help them change their reality. And when we met with the students in the square, we said, yeah, we're here to change reality, and let me tell you how we're going to do that. And that was another kind of avenue to share the gospel. Deirdre?
Where we were, it wasn't as prevalent. The eastern side of Ukraine, it's still a big deal going on over there. But we were more in the central, kind of western part, so it wasn't a huge deal where we were.
Yeah, it's not as prevalent, but
yeah,
there was a few little signs that a few of our helpers were saying, yeah, the war is close. So being in Kyiv, that's where the revolution had started. And that's, we had traveled there, but it's died down there. It's a functioning city now. But last year we did meet a few students that were from the cities on the eastern border, where their mall was destroyed right in front of their eyes, and they had to kind of flee westward. That is one of our goals. We, with Natalia, she actually started kind of tutoring us once a week via Skype. But since we were so busy, Sarah was finishing her master's, and life kind of got in the way. We set a goal with Natalia that we do want to meet with her on a time that works best for us on Saturdays. So that's one of our goals, is to do that, because it'd be better for us to communicate easier with the Ukrainian staff members that are there. I just found out through Sarah, through that whole story. While she was at school, she kind of heard about missions trips and, in Europe, and her heart is for Eastern Europe. So she started kind of just Googling, and that's when she had gotten the email address of Xenia. And Xenia started talking with her, and, hey, there's a camp coming out here. You should come. And that's when Sarah got involved with that. So it was really through Sarah's curiosity and the work of the Holy Spirit to kind of get that moving and us kind of taking a step of faith and serving in Ukraine. So Ksenia won't be going specifically to these camps, most likely. She'll be working with her husband in Croatia, kind of getting her life going and working together with him while they're in Croatia.
Yes?
Stephen, this one is for you. As a teenager, now you've had an opportunity to go to Argentina, to go to Ukraine for 2 summers, and I know that God's worked through you and you've been able to see fruit, but do you think that God's worked in your life too? And do you think it's affected you overall in your worldview and your, how do you think it's changed you?
I think that going and seeing the different cultures and things, it has opened my eyes to the needs of other places. Americans are so privileged, and we have everything we really need. And it has, like, stirred a desire in my heart to, kind of meet those needs for other people in whatever way I can, things like that. And it has made me a lot bolder in sharing my faith. I'm comfortable with talking to people about Jesus and what I believe, and seeing what they believe and kind of comparing the two, differences and things that are similar and things like that. So
you would recommend
teenagers? Oh, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, I think it's something that would be a benefit in anybody's life to go and see and help with missions work, and even just going and visiting missionaries, just being an encouragement to them. It's an amazing experience.
And this camp is really geared towards kind of the teenage years and beginning of college, and they really do connect with that age group really well. So that's part of our Sarah and I's mission too, is to kind of get younger students to be willing to go there and really experience that need. And I know in Pinedale it doesn't get super duper hot all the time, but you've got a glimpse of what 90s feels like on a consistent basis. This is us in Cherkasy. This isn't even our whole group. A few of them, they were eating and got pulled inside. But it was 93 degrees this day, and this was in Cherkasy, so it was 40 to 60% humidity, and you just didn't get away from the heat no matter what. And it was...
A lot of places, there's no air conditioner, and when it is, it's just like a little small one mounted on the wall, so you have to be in just the right place and just the right angle to get the air conditioned, so there was a lot of times when you were just sitting there sweating, just nobody touched me.
So when the Smiths had mentioned they got an air conditioning, Stephen and I chuckled because we've experienced that, where you're there to, you know, really not only just be in the culture, but to really transform their life with the gospel. But then you just realize what the living conditions are, and you're just like, you kind of have to take a step beyond that and not just, you know, the American way of, man, let's turn it on and complaining, but just experiencing life with them. And those day-to-day things. You can't drink the tap water there. There's lots of different minerals and chemicals in there. One of our, Andrea got sick by accidentally drinking the water there. And just those, I spoke with Joanne a little bit too, through that, about how it is in Argentina. You can drink it, but most people, you know, and you just don't think about those things until you're immersed in that culture. And realizing, oh, I can just go to the tap water, I can go get ice, I can take a nap in an air-conditioned room on the side. And it really is a drastic kind of change of perspectives and what's really important when it comes down to it at the end of the day. That was a wonderful experience going again this year, and I'm very excited to go again. I hope we can try and convince some of you guys to go, what the Holy Spirit can do through you at that camp as well. So.
Does anybody else have any questions? Yes, Pastor.
Tell us about the t-shirts you're wearing. What are the symbols?
Funny thing, we don't know exactly what these symbols
mean. We're not totally sure.
We thought they were similar to the four in that bracelet. We're pretty sure this is like sharing the light, Americans sharing the light by sparking a fire in academic students, maybe. Because they're university students. So that's what we think they mean, but... We've been trying to ask Ukrainians.
Yeah, they weren't explained to us. We just kind of were given them and told, put this on. So yeah. We went with it.
Thank you.
You know, it's fun. We got to travel since we were gone a month with Ksenia's wedding. You know, Hershey's really big in America. There is Roshen. Their new president? Mm-hmm. Yeah, is Poroshenko.
Poroshenko.
What?
Poroshenko.
Poroshenko, sorry. And he has a chocolate factory called Roshen. And we were able to watch one of their factories and stuff with a student who was in our camp last year who was a believer, and we were able to speak truth into her again and just really encourage her throughout that process. So even though we were gone for a full month, we were a week at this camp and a week, you know, a few days at the orphanage, like we were able to experience and share some exciting things with other believers while we were there too. You're very excited to come back after a month being gone and living in a suitcase and not being able to wash our clothes very often. It was very exciting to be back.